From the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, transformation and relationship coach, Monica Loren.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Helena Flores. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This weekend, I had the opportunity to catch a friend of mine and a past show guest, actually, Dina Marone, and her latest play, My Uterus, a womb with a view, a stimulatingly funny show. So this is the short description of the play. In My Uterus, a womb with a view, Dina digs deep into her pelvic cavity to explore what the uterus really is, what it means to own one, and to probe and examine how and why it continues to get screwed over again and again by those who have no business being in there. In her one-woman show, she went political, she went religious, she went biological, she went psychological. But as soon as the show was over, I was the first one to jump out of my seat and applaud her. Maybe because of all that, maybe because of what it took to put all that together, maybe because of her strength, maybe also because she went there. She went all there, and she put it all out there and brought us into a conversation we didn't know we needed to have, some of us, and didn't know enough about it, and a very important one. And in her funny, fun, educational, and transformational way, she brought it to us in a way that we could stop and listen, laugh, and learn. And one of the things that struck me, and the reason I'm bringing it up before this show, is that in her play and in the others that I've seen that she's written and produced and starred in, she has gone through situations, and we all go through situations. Some of us get out of the situations. Sometimes we don't know how we got out of them, and we didn't learn anything from them, and then we move on, and then it happens again. Or some of us have the situations, we learned how to not get into that situation again, and then we move on with our lives. But some people, like Dina, and like our guest today, from what little I have gathered, and I am impressed by this and delighted about this upcoming conversation, some people go through the situation, they learn from it, and then they even go outside of the situation to say, what else is out there that I could learn about this? Anybody know about this, or anybody can help me through it? Yes, I'm on the other side of it, but what else could I learn about it? Or what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? Or how did I bring this in to begin with, so that not only does this not happen to us again, and if it does, we know what to do with it, but potentially it doesn't happen, but potentially we also, some of us, share it with other people, so we all could have next level experiences and move civilization forward, not just in now we know how to build a fire, but we also know, for example, one of the most difficult things to navigate in this world is how to navigate relationships. And so today, I think we are going deep, and with somebody who's been not only been there, she's done the work, and is honest and open and delightingly so and brutally so and wonderfully so. I can't wait for this conversation.
So more healing moving from womb to womb.
Oh, man.
I'm so excited for tonight's show. I think this is a really important topic, and we do need more wombs with more views. I think we need to listen more, and we need to listen to those that have been through it at the deepest, most painful levels, that have come through to the other side, that understand relationship with themselves and with others from a deeply empathic perspective. And that's certainly what the conversation is tonight.
You know, and Mark, it's interesting you bring that in that way, because from a feminine perspective, a strong feminine perspective and experience is so something that we don't often get, as if permission hasn't been granted or hasn't been, do you know what I mean? It's like that hasn't been allowed or hasn't been heard. It hasn't had the space, hasn't had the room.
Yeah. And people use different words, and you hear a lot that, and you feel that we're moving from that, you know, masculine dominated energy to the creative flow, to the Sophia wisdom, to the divine feminine. And you know, the more we listen, the more wisdom comes through, and the more we start to see how things actually really can work or do work.
It's interesting, Mark. We had so many topics to be able to choose from that she speaks on, and we're going to try and touch on as many as we can. We've titled this show based on a combination of two of the topics. An interesting title, interesting thought, how to be truly alone. I can't even say it. It just sounds so foreign. How to be truly alone without being lonely, and its benefit, get this, in relationships. This is our episode 886, and we are featuring our guest, transformation and relationship coach Monica Lauren, and performance guest, singer and songwriter Elena Flores. Welcome, Monica, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you with us. And thank you for showing up in so many ways in what you do. And I'm getting the sense that, in a way, with this podcast launches potentially other avenues for you to break into and share your story. Am I tuning into that correctly?
I believe that's correct. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for noticing that, tuning into that.
And I'm excited about that, because I was like looking for videos, and I was looking for the book. And then I said to you, and so-and-so might be able to make the movie someday. And you said, let's start with this broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. One step at a time.
Well, speaking of one step at a time, I don't even know what step to start on with your story, but let's start somewhere in the middle, and then we'll go backwards and forward. When did you know that potentially you could gain knowledge or gain support or needed support for the kind of life experience you were having and sought out to get it?
Probably when I was in my early 20s, let's say 21, and I hit rock bottom and nothing outside of me was working to feel content, to feel happy. And I had no other choice but to, you know, seek further into finding ways to open myself up to more. I was partying a lot. I was escaping with alcohol, and you know, wanting attention from men and all the things you can do to feel better, but it wasn't working. And so I remembered in high school, I had done something called Kundalini Yoga as my physical education class. And we meditated often. And I remember I had an out of body experience in one of those classes where it felt very mystical, very connected to something bigger. And I was like, maybe that'll help. Maybe if I go back to yoga, maybe I'll feel better and not want to escape anymore.
Somebody looking at you or knowing you, but not knowing you at the time, meeting you at the parties or the clubs or what have you, might look at you and say, she's having like the time of his life. She's of her life. She's on, you know, she's good. But what didn't they know?
It was all very surface level fun. There was no depth. There was no connection. There was no intimacy. There was no love. It was all very surface level excitement, very flat, empty. And while that can be great at times and it serves its purpose and there's nothing wrong with any of that, there wasn't a true purpose there. The intention was to not be present. So that to me is the opposite of why we're really meant to be here, which is to be really present, embodied, and, you know, find meaning in everyday life. Yeah.
So for not having love in that moment or the connections as you speak, you must not have ever experienced that at a deep level. Am I correct in assuming that?
In that period, that was probably accurate. Yeah. Okay. I mean, experienced deep love from my mother for sure. But maybe in everyday interactions in life with friends, maybe romantic partnerships. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm glad to hear that you said you experienced love from your mom. Whether you felt it from the beginning or later, I'm not sure, but let's talk about that. What was childhood like? And it's relevant to being able to connect relationships later. The fact that you can connect these stories for us with this kind of experience to me is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Childhood was rough from the start. I mean, I came in the world with trauma. I was 2 months early, had a twin brother who we were both in the ICU for, I don't know, a few months before I left. He didn't make it. So there was a trauma from the start. Dad began heavily drinking when my mother was pregnant. And then eventually, you know, she had to kind of keep him out of our lives when I was around 4. So it was pretty chaotic from the start. And it didn't really get easier. It actually, there were, of course, moments of joy and fun. And, but it was a constant battle from the start. Yeah.
So one might think that a lot of what happened during those ages is definitely there in your unconscious. You might not have been conscious about it, right?
Absolutely. It's all unconscious and it definitely plays out in adulthood. And that's definitely probably why I hit that rock bottom early on, because it probably was compounded trauma that I finally just couldn't take anymore. If I didn't find a way through that, I may not have stayed here, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So the trauma was stored somewhere. You say it's stored in the body.
Absolutely. It's stored in the cells. And there is research showing that. And it wasn't until I started getting into my body that I learned this. And as I released trauma, my life started to change.
Is that why maybe some people don't want to feel emotions, because it'll tap them into that unknown place that's hiding all of that, which could be worse.
Absolutely. People are afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of things that don't feel familiar. They are also afraid of the roles that they've been playing for most of their life, and who they might be without that role. Is it can be frightening to not know what life can be like without the role. It's there's a comfort in that familiarity.
So these are related to the things that you didn't consciously register, or at least you might not remember, but the things that you consciously registered were also very traumatic. Tell us
yes.
as much as you want about that.
Well, there for a long time I was, you know, attracting people that were not really able to hold, you know, emotion and really be present with discomfort. And, you know, there were experiences also, you know, in my youth where there were people took advantage of, you know, me seeking help in the entertainment industry and taking advantage of their power and saying, I will help you. And then, you know, there was a lot of, you know, SA, I don't know how much I can say
here. Okay.
Yeah, I had to really, learn how to release some of that trauma from my body so that I could create kind of safety for people who were, more available, more present, more safe. Because basically what happens is when you don't release that, you continue to attract really similar patterns.
So I'm going to go ahead and say it, because I think it's probably more prevalent than any of us know, or any of that I even knew. And you're talking about sexual abuse, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And you also related to me something else that's potentially more prevalent, and mm-hmm. and that some of that came from somebody who was very close to you.
Yes. So a few years ago, I started experiencing pain in my body, my feminine part of my body. And I had gone to lots of doctors. I had every test that you could think of be tested on me. And no one had any answers for me. And until I had the idea to, you know, see if it was a somatic trauma, which means to go into the body with your awareness, with your presence, and release it from the body. And when I began doing that, I started to experience memories from my dad, which, you know, of course, you don't want to look at that. You don't want to admit that that's, you know, something that could have happened. And it took me a while to accept it. You know, that's a big step, is actually accepting that these kind of things happened, and then diving into the pain of that. It's brutal to experience something where the person that was supposed to keep you safe was actually harming you tremendously. And so I had to go back and relive those experiences, and in a way that allowed me to process the trauma. So the trauma can loop and stay in your system if you don't move into it. And so the pain completely released when I did the embodiment and the somatic work on it.
Does this have something to do with not feeling like we're able to tell truth in our relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of experiences I had with my dad where he would tell me not to say anything, that he would, you know, harm me. And that got trapped in my body as well. And there was a period in my life where I didn't feel like I could share how I felt, because I would be punished. And so when I accessed that somatically again, and I healed, you know, the inner child that was traumatized in those moments, and then, you know, allow the new pattern to come in of feeling safe and strong enough to express myself and physically do that, that all completely shifted. And now, I mean, now in relationships, I need to learn how to not say so much. So now I'm learning how to really speak from my heart and not just say everything that is on my mind and what I'm feeling. You know, there's no questioning or wondering where I'm feeling in this point in my life. And that's a big stretch considering when I was younger, I was told if you say something, you will be hurt. So I had to really learn how to shift that. And it's massive change now.
So, well, the people you were attracting in relationship, those were, you call them mirrors, right? Of what was deep inside.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, they reflect how you feel about yourself, your deep subconscious beliefs. And they, you know, none of these things are conscious until you get the reflection and then you do the deep inner work to see, okay, you know, what am I really feeling here? What part of me believes this to be true? Because if you don't believe certain things about yourself, someone can say anything to you and it won't trigger you because you don't believe it's true. But if there is a part of you that believes it's true, it will upset you. So, yeah.
I remember when we were talking earlier how when you were talking about the nightlife and that kind of experience, looking like the belle of the ball, right? You were having the time of your life. How as kids, sometimes we would say about people that were heavy set, we'd say, oh, they're always jolly. And I never saw that. I would see that they were either overcompensating or pretending, but some of them were really hurting inside. And as I grew up, I was in that moment with people when I would be at a club or something, and I couldn't see the people that were hurt. And it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of it is not authentic. It's a bit of kind of like a mask, surface level character that people portray often. And it's, you know, it's easy to it looks like the person's happy, but until you're really connecting with that person on a deep level, you know, you can have any mask and, you know, people won't know how you're actually feeling inside until you're actually connecting on a really intimate level, on a deep level.
The other hard news of that is that that's a, for many, an endless, like there's no satisfying, like you can't get enough and it just gets deeper and deeper or harder and harder, stronger and stronger, right?
Yeah, I was definitely in that space. When I was, you know, before I did the healing work on myself, and it will never end until you take the energy of outward and bring it in. So if you're seeking any sort of joy and happiness outside of you, that there will be no end to that. It will be an infinite, cycle until you, what I like to say to my clients, you insource your connection to self and your joy and your love and your, you know, your connection to also a higher power as well. Mm.
You had words for those of us who are well-meaning and loving and wanting to help and support when they're not asking. What do you say about that?
When they're not asking, how do you help them?
No, when they're not asking.
Yeah, you have to let them be. You have to allow people to go through their process. And they need to come to that moment themselves. That's the most loving thing you could do for someone, is love them where they are. Of course, if someone needs a boundary, you know, you need to do that. But the greatest gift you can give anyone is truly letting them be who they are, loving them as they are. And if you have, you know, an issue with that, that's something for you to look at. And why, you know, why do they need to change for you to be comfortable?
Can we at least like protect them where they are? Like, watch out if they're too much on this or that and just be there?
I suppose it depends on the situation, right? It depends on, you know, the case. But of course, if there's something we can do, obviously we would love to be able to do that. But everyone is truly their own person, their own sovereign being with their own connection to their path and their purpose and a higher power. And that really has nothing to do with us unless they are bringing us into that. And that can be challenging when you love someone. And, you know, that doesn't mean to not help if there's a path to help. But if someone does not want you to help them, that is the most honoring thing you can do for them is to trust them and to believe that they can find their way with or without you. That's huge, to really trust someone in that.
So obviously, if we're caring, like, we're not just, I'm not just talking about healers and therapists out there. I'm talking about all parents and, you know, siblings. So if we're caring, to me, that touches on like the devotion, which I know you talk about. So isn't that like what part of devotion is in a relationship, or do we have that wrong?
Yeah, to me, devotion is really coming in whole and loving from a place of wholeness and from a place of service and selflessness, but coming from not from lack and needing the person to fill you, but coming in with that empowerment of, you know, your connection to self, something higher than you, love, and then tuning in that way.
Yeah. That's interesting, because it reminds me of something that came in when we were talking as well. Being a caregiver versus being a caregiver. Like, I don't know how to explain that. Can you?
Yeah. If you had to be a caretaker to your parents or whoever raised you, you might have developed a pattern of being a caretaker in your adult life, and where you're not really, you're kind of a neglecting yourself because you were maybe neglected. And so there's a difference between, you know, giving from a place of love and wholeness and to get and wounding, as opposed to the opposite, which is you're so full that you're doing it from overflow. Those are two different things. So the first one is wounding, and the second one is from love and wholeness.
So an example of wounding, actually, you experienced this as well, as you shared, that a parent might say to a child, or a child might infer that this is happening, like parents are getting divorced because of me, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Whether they're told that or not, they can infer that.
Absolutely.
But worse if they're told, maybe.
They might believe that to kind of make sense of everything. And so, yeah, and then, you know, they take on that role, you know, this is my fault, so I'm going to now take care of everyone else. It's a way of self-regulating when, you know, you're in like a, it might be, this is like a little T trauma. So there's big T and little T trauma. You know, big T can be more like abuse, and little T is like, you know, feeling maybe neglected or abandoned or taking on like the caretaker role. But they all impact you in the same way, where you are basically having to learn how to regulate your nervous system when similar patterns come through in adult life. So you might, you know, become the caretaker, like a woman might become a caretaker for a man, you know, in her adult life, and then she ends up feeling like his, you know, mother and not partner.
So you said a woman, and that's very specific to the conversation of the masculine and the feminine, either idea of relationships or feelings about, or is it polarity, as you say?
Absolutely. Polarity is a big factor in that. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the traditional polarity model of, you know, tuning into your core energy of, you know, receiving or leading, masculine or feminine. And I do believe you can move through all the different, you know, levels of that. We're not black and white, but I'm definitely in support of the traditional masculine, feminine roles in polarity.
So how does that play out in a modern day society with everybody being able to work, or everybody being able to stay home, or what, you know, all the things that are available to us today?
It's a great question that we're all still figuring out. You know, it was really important for women to feel empowered and become you know, CEOs and boss babes. And it was really important for men to tune into their sensitivity and their emotions and have space for all of that and creativity. And those are beautiful, you know, parts of the human being that we needed to explore and discover. And I feel like we shouldn't get rid of those parts of the human experience. But if we want to go back to kind of our nature, to honor, you know, current reality, and it's to each individual to find that space within your own being of, you know, what part of me is as a woman, you know, wanting to learn how to surrender more, and how do I do that? And each person has to go through that own journey, and each man has, you know, has to go through his version of how do I lead? How do I lead in a world where women are, you know, are just as competent as I am? How do I become bigger, or whatever their, you know, journey is? And to find that within yourself. I know for me, I had to learn how to trust something greater than myself in my everyday life. And I view that in partnership and, you know, the man, and this might really impact some people and they might not like to hear this, but I think they're, you know, your partner is like an extension of God, and to surrender to that in some ways is true devotion.
Wow. Okay. Stop the presses. We're going to have to do another 3 hours on this subject.
Yeah. That one's going to probably get some interesting comments. And I know, and I'm very aware of that, and that's okay.
Well, and there's so much to be discovered here. And actually so much of what you say is, can be challenging, can be eye-opening, and can be like a dichotomy, like even our title. And you've touched on aspects that I think are going to relate to this, but let's get to how to be truly alone without being lonely, and its benefit in relationships.
Absolutely. And this is something that I definitely had to experience for myself. I do believe before I was, you know, on my journey of experiencing being single and celibate for many, many years, I wasn't like that. And I veered toward what someone might label as like codependent, right? And always connecting with people, always like out, always, you know, with some person. And not by my choice. I think honestly, something greater than me put me in a position where I was not in a relationship. I was not intimate. I was celibate for 3.5 years at one point. And that, yeah, I don't know if I would have consciously chosen that, but that experience led me to deepen my connection to myself and really learn how to love myself, my standards increased, my connection to my power increased, because I didn't have anything else but myself to find that. And I also wasn't, you know, doing anything to distract myself as well. So, you know, I wasn't doing any drugs. I wasn't doing anything to kind of escape any addiction kind of thing. And so in that process of being alone and even celibate, it strengthened some sort of connection to myself that I now bring and have brought into all my relationships, friendships, in my work, in my partnership, which I think is what has attracted also people who are whole as well.
Mm.
So it was not easy to get there, but that I believe is one of the most important things to learn. You don't have to be celibate 3.5 years per se. But I do feel like that also helped me really see how incredible intimacy is and how sacred it is, which I don't think we know that until we don't have it. And your level of like respect for it shifts when you go through a process like that. At least for me, I can speak for myself only.
And the being alone part without being lonely, I think another benefit in relationship is that we don't necessarily feed the codependency thing, like, what are you doing? I have to be with you. Can I go with you? That kind of thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being okay if someone has, you know, their own life and their own interests and things that they need to do, and to be comfortable in yourself if someone wants to disconnect with you. That, you know, some people have that's a challenge for them, and to be like, I'm so content with who I am and full with my life and myself, that whatever my partner or friends or whoever, you know, whatever they need to do, I'm fine. I'm okay, because I'm you know, filling my own cup here.
I'm getting, like, I think, and everybody that's listening can get the offering here that you offer, obviously, from the way you share, shows that you've been through what you've been through, and that you've come to another place about it. That's already, to be able to connect with and go to somebody like you in coaching, that can actually hear us in that space and hold that space, so to speak.
Yeah. A lot of what I do is, people find me and they trust me because I've been there, because I am the embodiment of what they're needing to embody. Cause I've done it. I've been there and I can relate, and they trust that. I'm not just someone who read something in a book, and I'm just, and no judgment on any of this, regurgitating information.
And you have read the books, actually.
I have read the books too, and I've done a lot of seeking for a very long time. And it all comes back down to your connection to yourself, your connection to your body, your heart, love, and I think of something beyond you, a higher power as well.
Transformation and relationship coach, specializing in somatic healing, which we heard, attachment repair, which we get now, and emotional sovereignty. Oh, tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, I help people heal on a deep, deep embodied level, a lot of inner child wounding, attachment wounds. And I help them basically learn how to feel empowered and connected and self-regulated when they're triggered. And that's in their relationships. And that's huge.
So in your bio, you said this is the work she now embodies. So that's also a form of leading by example, right?
Yes. And I think that's the best way to assist anyone, is to be it. And, you know, they will catch up.
Monica Lauren, thank you for being it. And helping people catch up. Monica, Monica Lauren, Lauren, and find her on Instagram at Monica Lauren, and also on Facebook and TikTok. We have the links for her at the Life Changes show page. And as more happens in your life and you want to share with us, let us know, so we could either add to the page or share on our socials, because we feel like there's going to be a lot more coming from your camp. That's good.
Yes, I'm so thrilled. And this has been an honor. Thank you so much,
Monica. Thank you so much. All the best to you. What a pleasure. Monica Lauren, Lauren. Wow, Mark. Truly, I mean, sometimes I don't know whether to laugh or cry, or, you know, but being present for these conversations is so heart fulfilling. Like, it feels like it's a difference and lives are changing. And I'm grateful to this conversation with Monica.
I'm glad you shared that, because this is, you know, kind of been our heartbeat from the beginning. Conversations like this that truly matter.
Yeah.
And because it's not just coming from an academic place, and she said she was seeking and she's done all this learning, but she was forced into that position by her own life experiences. And as we've discussed so many times, rewriting the program is so very difficult and so intentional to get in, to feel the feels, to stop the distractions, to actually being self-accountable and willing to look at things before you can then start to break the pattern. Otherwise, you go to the same people for similar advice. They continue to validate the old program, and the record keeps playing.
Mark, you said academic, and my mind, for some reason, went to some top MBA schools don't accept kids or young adults right out of school that's been to school and school and school. They want them to graduate from undergraduate and actually get a job out in the world so that when they are in the MBA program, what they're learning actually applies to things that they know and experienced and can relate to and can connect the dots.
That's what, you know, we need more of this. You know, it's the system and it's the norm of information that's been shared that has allowed the baseline program that we've all lived with to be what it is. And to have people like Monica coming forward to challenge herself, to challenge the way she was raised or the influences that created her norm, you know, translates to the rest of the, to the rest of the system, education and you know, other cultural elements, programming. You know, we could get into deep discussions around film and television and a lot of the influences that also support these norms and or support someone who's actually breaking out of them.
And did you hear it or did you not hear it? How even in while I was talking to her before the show, like there was no shame or blame or it was just some kind of understanding of that's their journey, this was my journey, and here we are, and I made this with it, kind of thing.
I think that's the trophy, that's the victory, is the energy of wholeness that you hear. There is something on the other side. Mm. There is a different way of relating. There is a difference in not needing validation or carrying the blame, shame, program, whatever, the self-loathing. You know, you show up differently when you're in embodied wholeness and self-love, and that all comes back to, you know, a greater intuitive divine connection and starting to strip away all the other filters.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be hearing a lot more from Monica Lauren, and I look forward to it. And now it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Victoria, and I am grateful for the advice you have given me these many years. And once again, I need your help as I am so confused. I watch and read the news, and then I see on social media that many people show that what I just saw on the news is a lie. In today's interesting world, how does one determine what is truth and what is a lie?
Dearest Victoria, your confusion makes a lot of sense right now. You're not alone. This is one of the defining challenges of living in today's information environment. The uncomfortable truth is there isn't a single place anymore where truth is clearly and cleanly delivered. You have an actively filter, compare, and evaluate. You must do this. But the good news is there are reliable ways to do that without getting overwhelmed. Let's think of it less like finding the truth and more like building confidence in what's most likely true. It is very important for us to not trust single sources. I have discovered that truth usually shows up across multiple independent sources. When something feels questionable, I simply look it up and see how it's covered by mainstream outlets, independent journalists, and fact-checking organizations. If completely different realities are being presented, I dig deeper before believing either side fully. And, precious friend, please remember that you are already on the right path by questioning what is true. I'm so proud of you, Victoria, as you have proven over and over again during our work together that when you tap into your God-given gift of discernment, that you find the truths that resonate with you, and I salute you for questioning everything that matters to you. We are all on our path, and though there may be some absolute truths in this world, the kind of truths you are looking for are human construct-type truths, and those can be relative and sometimes, after time, even meaningless. And lastly, dear Victoria, sometimes confusion isn't a bad thing. It could lead us to new truths, our new discoveries about ourselves and others. However, if the confusion ever gets too much to handle, you might wish to choose to tune all the news out and focus on your truth. You can take a few moments to focus on you, your beautiful family, your beautiful garden, your beautiful animals, and express gratitude for all of the amazing truths you have created. It is also helpful to remember that sometimes the truth we resonate with isn't always the truth, but we may have needed to believe that in order to get us to another level. So if the truth you're seeking isn't something that needs your immediate decision, maybe you can just suspend a decision as to what is truth until such time that something resonates with you or more information comes out. Sometimes when we look at things from different angles, we can learn that there are many truths, and perhaps there is no absolute truth, but there might be a higher truth that makes the most sense for you. Sometimes the truth we resonate with isn't always the truth, but we may have needed to believe that in order to get us to another level. I congratulate you, precious Victoria, for being awake enough to do the work that provides you with clarity, and I look forward to you sharing some of your new insights as you continue to search for what is true for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her truthfully at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And now it's time for our performance guest segment. We have crossover singer, songwriter, Elena Flores. Welcome, Elena, to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, Filippo. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. As a matter of fact, we were delighted when you were brought to our attention thanks to the movie Rescued Hearts. Tell us who and how that all came about.
Yes, this is one of my favorite stories to tell, really, and one of the coolest synchronicities really to happen as an artist, this collaboration with the Rescued Hearts film. So a couple years ago, I had some big shifts in my life, and I had moved, and was really trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, and you know, the kind of contributions I wanted to make artistically, because I was going in a few different directions. And so I was doing a lot of work, and a lot of like meditation and journaling and all that sort of thing, kind of sitting with this. And this one day, I had gotten out of like my little morning routine, and I just had this thought that I want, like, one of my goals as an artist, like, I want to make like anthems for film. Yeah. And I had this hankering to do something about it that day. And I texted my friend Brianna Tam, yes, she's the composer, yep, of the film, right? And yep, you guys had her on as well.
We did.
Yes, just such a talented cellist and, yes, composer. She's amazing, and yeah, we're good friends. And she had, we've done a lot of musical projects in the past. And I had texted her, because I, you know, had this thought, and I almost didn't text her because she was in the middle of moving across the country, from Georgia to Los Angeles. But I was like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to send her this text. Hey, like, I want to make epic music, and I really want to write like an anthem for a film. So the next film that you're scoring for, like, let me write an anthem for it, even if they don't want one. Like, let me just write a song. And she
Good
was
for
like,
you.
Yeah, you know, I was like, I need to just put this out there. So she came back to me and was like, well, like, where is this all coming from? And, you know, like, this is out of the blue, you know. You know, last thing you were texting me about was, you know, something completely different. But anyway, she was like, but I am scoring a film for about the healing power of the horse-human connection.
Nice. And
so if you have any passionate songs about horses, you know, let me know. And I was like, you know what? You've got it. I'm gonna write a song. And so basically I sat down, and within a few hours had come up with this this demo. And I don't even really know where these words started coming from. I just kind of like sat with the subject matter, Googled it for a second, but I didn't know about the film. I didn't know specifics about it other than what she had said. So I sat with it and then
you tuned in is what you must have done.
I guess I tuned in. It was really crazy where like these words just, I mean, I felt like this is something special. I know this has got to, I don't know where this is coming from, but it all just came together. And, so I sent her this song, and what's crazy is I had the feeling to text her that day, and she was actually meeting with the filmmakers, Chrisanna and Dana. She was meeting with them that very night.
Wow.
In Arizona, in person, going to see them.
Wow.
And I had no idea about any of this. And she ended up sharing it with them. And within 24 hours, I finished the song and we all hopped on a call and they were like, "How? You know, where did you come up with this? This is like exactly what our film is about."
Wow. So, yes. That is
how wild and free and the collaboration came to be.
So Chrisanna Sexton, the director, and Dana Crochet, who actually she starred in it as well, right? So you've seen the film, right?
I have, yes, a couple times now.
So Dana being the filmmaker, and so she was telling me about you, and then when we all tuned into, oh, that's the song from the film. So, yes, I've seen the film, and I, along with the audience that was there that day, I actually had the pleasure of not only interviewing both of them on the show, but hosting a panel with them and a few people from the film and that have been part of the project. And it was like the audience response, like tears and just open hearts and, rescued hearts. I mean, it's all there. So tell us how people are going to get to hear you actually soon and eventually in other ways. But what's the first way that the world could see the film and hear you?
So they are doing this worldwide virtual screening coming up April 1st through 8th. And it's a unique opportunity for people to get to actually just go in and get a ticket and view the film. They're going to have this virtual screening for that week. So that is available now that you can get your ticket for it. And the song, it is at the end of the film. And I mean, it's also streaming, on, you know, Spotify and all that, but, to actually get to experience the film and everything, that event is coming up, next week, I guess.
Next week. So rescuedheartsfilm.com
rescuedheartsfilm.com. Yes.
Yeah. Is where you can learn more about the film and also see it in April and potentially beyond. So go and check it out. We highly recommend it. And now we highly recommend the song, and we're happy to have it on the show. This is the film, or the song that's used in the film Rescued Hearts, and it's called Wild and Free. Why don't we go ahead and hear it? We can talk more about it afterwards if you want. This is Elena Flores' song, Wild and Free, here on the Life Changes Show.
A little spark of hope shone on the horizon, but still the sky was dim. I was so alone, no one to confide in. My heart was sinking, so desperate just to find somehow to ease my mind. Now I take my pain and climb. Let's go for a ride. Shine into my night. I can feel your strength in every stride. I've been here many times, and I have lost this fight. But now I know what your light feels like. Wild and free. Yeah.
Elena, what did you say? You didn't just say you wanted to write a song for a movie. You wanted to write an epic song? Is that what you said?
Yes, and an epic anthem.
An epic anthem. Well, you nailed it.
Oh, thank you so much. Of course, a beautiful production there by Brianna Tam.
Yes. Thank you, Brianna Tam. Thank you, Elena, for sharing that with us. And of course, thank you to Dana Sexton and Dana Crochet and Chrisanna Sexton for introducing us and for using the song in the movie. You know, it's funny, but I was listening to the lyrics again, and I thought, wow, isn't this what Monica Lauren was just talking about? I mean, like, this song sounds like the perfect relationship.
Yeah.
Where we could feel wild and free. It's just the way that I was picturing the horse approaches the person, you know, you came to me in your strength and all. I mean, just anyway, it's I think it's an anthem for a lot of things. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So crossover artists, I think we got to hear that in the song because I think we heard a little bit of country, a little bit of opera, I think. You tell me.
Yeah. And that's something I think with, you know, trying to figure out the kinds of music that I wanted to make for a while. I was classically trained. And so I studied opera. I've got my master's in vocal performance. And, I went back to, after that, you know, I kind of was going back to more mainstream and trying to maybe find my way in the pop genre and feeling like, you know, there's all these genres, but I didn't really fit in any of these boxes with my voice and my training. And I was always kind of trying to shy away from the classical side of things. And I got to a point where I was like, you know what? Like I'm proud of my roots and what I can do with my voice. And I know there's gotta be a way that I can use that in the art that I make. So that's why, you know, I really embrace the crossover genre and being able to use all the aspects of my voice and who I am as an artist in the music that I write.
You've been needing to cross over all your life. You wanted to study voice, I think, but your parents put you in piano class or something? Got your piano lessons?
Yes, yes. Thinking that I was maybe going to excel at the piano. And then the teacher said, well, you know, she's not the best at the piano, not exactly a natural. But the voice, there's something there that we can do with the voice. So,
well, it's a good way to get that confirmation.
It is. And, you know, I do play some piano, but it's something that I really have to, I mean, I'm actually playing, funny enough, I'm playing the piano for in the song there in Wild and Free.
Oh, are you really? Well, then it's served. Thank you, parents.
Yes, thank you. They did pay off. They did pay off.
Funny. And now we posted, as a matter of fact, it's brand new. You gave us the link before you even posted it on your YouTube page, which thank you very much, but it's posted all over now. And it's you singing with the full orchestra. As a matter of fact, a pop song with the full orchestra. Tell us about that kind of experience you're having.
Yes. So that is another passion of mine, getting to perform as an artist with orchestras, which is something I've been doing for, well, many years, but in most recent years, being able to do multiple genres with orchestras, especially pops orchestras. And the North Charleston Pops Orchestra has had me for the past 2 years as a featured artist on their concerts.
Nice.
And yes, so I just posted a clip singing Adele's Skyfall.
With the full orchestra.
With the full orchestra, which is just, yeah, such an epic experience.
North Charleston Pops Orchestra. So go ahead and catch that on the Life Changes show page. We have several links for Elena on that page, but you can find her mainly at the Elena Flores, Flores. That's her website.com, and then Instagram and Facebook. So catch her there, and she's on YouTube, TikTok, Spotify, iTunes, where music is available. You should find her and you should look for her. I think it's a good idea because it's something good. And speaking of something good.
Yes.
Cue.
And so to tie in, also with singing with orchestras, the North Charleston Pops Orchestra, they wanted to feature an original song of mine, and a song I released last fall called Something Good. We ended up arranging, and I was able to perform that with a full orchestra, which was amazing. And because it was writing the song itself was something I wrote to kind of pull myself out of a funk, and a cathartic experience really writing that song. So then getting to perform it with a full orchestra was just an amazing experience.
And I just have to say, having had this experience, getting arrangers that can arrange the song for all those instruments, all the different instruments and all the different ways they play and all that, and make it sound like you want it to sound, or even better than you thought it ever could, maybe, who knows? That's a feat in itself. So more power to you.
Yeah, it definitely is a feat in itself. And it was really beautiful what the arranger had done, because I've got some background vocals and things like that. And it was just me on stage. So he ended up putting that in the instrumentation. And it came together really well.
Well, obviously, this is a pre-recorded. Was it recorded live?
No, it was not. But
in a studio, even better. Wow.
In a studio, in my vocals with my home studio, and I collaborated with a wonderful pianist here in Florida, Jeremy Wineglass, and he is playing the piano. We went to studio, and he recorded the piano live.
Wow. Okay. Well, here it is. Putting it all together, here's something good, pre-recorded. This is Elena Flores here on the Life Changes Show.
Sometimes I wish the sun would go down instead of insist on shining out. I don't want to lose the day, but I might break. Sometimes I wish the sky would just pour instead of making me feel more alone in these emotions. Oh, how long will it take till I'm okay? Misery, go on and leave me in peace, not in pieces, believe me. I trip over my own feet, my ego gets checked. Oh, life is humbling. I don't want to lose myself, but I need help. Please don't give up on me just yet. I swear I'm on to something big and better than ever.
Flores, Elena, I know you've got the song coming out in the Rescued Hearts album that's coming out in April. Tell me there's an album that you've got coming out with more of these.
Slowly but surely, I am. I've got some new music that I am working on releasing, and hopefully there will be an album that comes of it, or an EP at the very least, in the next year. But I do have new music on the way.
So we said that there are many links that we have at the Life Changes Show page, so people can find you at the Elena Flores page. But where's the best place, like one or two places for people to connect with you or follow you?
I would say probably the best is Instagram. And then for, you know, there's a lot of folks that like the YouTube. I try to keep that updated as much as I can. So Instagram, YouTube, you know, TikTok. I post everywhere. I try to.
Okay. So the Elena Flores with theellenaflores.com, and then on Instagram, theellenaflores. Tell me, as we bring this great conversation to a close, that was something good, by the way, truly. And who are you? Were you speaking to yourself in that song?
Yes, definitely speaking to myself.
Wow.
And just, yeah, kind of giving myself some affirmations there to remember.
Wow. Another epic anthem, an anthem to yourself. Well, more power to you. Elena, thank you so much. Also, looking forward to hearing more of your music on the Rescued Hearts film, but on all other, wherever you choose. Obviously, all you have to do is choose and say what it is that you want, and it happens. Exactly. All the best to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure. With a big thank you to Elena Flores. And another big thank you to our interview guest, Monica Lauren. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark LeJour, and our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.